finding them on the papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, the 26th of March, 2007. There has been stories that have been going on the Internet. You will not see this on your mainstream media news. And this is specifically about Seymour Hersh, that is a writing, he's writing for New Yorker magazine. He's posted other places. But talking about our meddling in Iran. You know, for at least a month now, our press and TV news has been full to the brim of the mile-high headlines and top-of-the-news stories recounting and more rarely disputing the Bush administration's claims of Iranian interference or meddling in Iraq. This is where, by the way, the U.S. military spokesman regularly referred to the Iraqi insurgents they are now fighting as anti-Iraq forces. Since Hersh published Plan B in the New Yorker in June of 2004, in which he claimed that the Israelis were running covert operations inside Kurdish areas of Iran and Syria. You know, we've got the Shiites, we've got the Sunnis, and, of course, we have the Kurds. In the coming wars in January of 2005, he first reported that the Bush administration, like the Israelis, had been conducting secret reconnaissance missions inside Iran for at least since the summer of 2004. In April of 2006, in the Iran plans, he reported that the Bush administration was eager to put the nuclear option on the table in any future air assault on Iranian nuclear facilities. Yeah, we're telling them you can't build nuclear bombs, so we're going to nuke you. And, by the way, some in the Pentagon, fiercely opposed, had at least temporarily thwarted planning for the possible use of nuclear bunker busters in Iran. He also reported that the American combat units were on the ground in Iran, marking targets for any future air attacks. And I have no doubt about that, folks. Now, the troops are studying the terrain there and giving away walking around money to ethnic tribes and recruiting scouts from local tribes and shepherds, the consultant said, one of the sources on this. One goal is to get eyes on the ground. The broader aim, the consultant said, is to encourage ethnic tensions and undermine the regime. This is exactly what they have accomplished in Iraq. Now, in the redirection, he now claims that in search of Iranian rollback and possible regime change, American military and special operations team have escalated their activities in Iran to gather intelligence, and according to Pentagon consultant on terrorism and the former senior intelligence official, have also crossed the Iranian border in pursuit of Iranian operatives from Iraq. Now, in addition, he reported a special planning group has been established in the office of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, charged with creating a contingency bombing plan for Iran that can be implemented upon orders from the president. And let me add something here, folks. United States Congress granted the power to the ascended king, George W. Bush, in Washington, D.C., preemptive war powers. He doesn't have to go to Congress and ask for them. Congress gave him the authority, well, if you want to go bomb something in the furtherance of national security or the war on terrorism, go right ahead and do it. Now, these orders coming from the president within 24 hours, and that its new assignment was to identify not just nuclear facilities and possible regime change targets, but targets in Iran that may be involved in supplying or aiding militants in Iraq. Simply amazing. More on this after this break, ladies and gentlemen, on the National Intel Report. Also, talk a little bit about the UN ordering the sanctions against Iran. Yeah, there's our World Body Group in action again. We'll be right back.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
During the break, I walk out of the broadcast studio, look up what is on Fox News, Anna Nicole Smith, that has been up there just nonstop for 2 weeks. You know, folks, I'm thinking here. Our run-up to the war in Iraq under Daddy Bush. What did we have for two solid days on the news while they're on their way over to Iraq to take care of Saddam Hussein? Well, kind of, sort of. Not everything was in place. Zsa Zsa Gabor slaps a cop. What have we seen for the last solid week, if not 2 weeks, Anna Nicole Smith? Whose baby is it? Who gets what? Who cares? You know, for the last hour here, we've been talking about the run-up to the possible war in Iran. And I walk out of here, and I look at Fox News, and I'm looking at Anna Nicole Smith. She's dead, okay? Get over it. Who cares whose baby it is, and what national import does this have? Zero. Zilch, nada, nothing. Zero. But there are people out there just glued, transfixed, mesmerized, hypnotized by this pop culture entertainment they're passing off as news. You got to admit one thing. If this is what people in America will tolerate, then they're doing a wonderful job. It looks all slick. They've got the screen wipes. They've got the talking heads there. They're making a non-story sound extremely important. We're looking at an Iran-Contra redux here, folks. Doesn't it raise anybody's eyebrows that under the leadership of Elliot Abrams, who is the Iran-Contra period, pleaded guilty to two counts of unlawful withholding of information from Congress, and by the way, he was later pardoned, Ollie North, I remember watching his testimony in front of Congress, this guy ends up with a radio show, nobody goes to jail. Does no one want to confirm that this happened? Does no one want to know who attended? Iran-Contra alumni in the Bush administration at one time or another included, that's right, former Reagan National Security Advisor John Poindexter, Otto Reich, and John Negroponte, who, by the way, Seymour Hersh claims that recently left his post as director of the National Intelligence Agency in order to avoid the 21st century version of Iran-Contra. He says, no way, I'm not going down that road again with the National Security Council, running operations off the books, with, by the way, no presidential oversight or finding. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. Did the vice president or president sit in? Was there either of them informed about the lessons drawn? Were the vice president's right-hand men, Louis Libby and or David Addington, in any way involved? Who knows? In the Iran-Contra affair, the Reagan administration drew together the seediest collection of freelance arms dealers, intelligence agents, allies, and in the case of the Ayatollah Khomeini's Iranian regime, sworn enemies in what can only be called amateur hour at the White House. Now, it looks like the Bush administration is heading down a similar path, and given its previous amateur hour reputation in foreign policy matters anyhow, imagine what this is likely to mean. Now, the jihadists as proxies, using jihadists as American proxies in a struggle to roll back Iran with the help of the Saudis, should have rung a few bells somewhere in American memory as another been-there-done-that moment. In the early 80s, on the theory that my enemy's enemy is my friend, the fundamentalist Catholic CIA director William Casey came to believe that the Islamic fundamentalists could prove tight and trustworthy allies in rolling back the Soviet Union. In Afghanistan, as a result, the CIA, backed by the Saudi royals, by the way, who themselves represented an extremist form of Sunni Islam, regularly favored and funded the most extreme of the Mujahideen, ready to fight the Soviets. Who can forget the results? Today, according to Hersh, the Saudis are reassuring key figures in the administration that this time they have the jihadists to whom funds are flowing under control, no problem. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. And once again, Congress is in the dark. According to Hersh, he claims that with the help of the Saudi National Security Advisor, Prince Bandar bin Sultan, buddy, by the way, to the Bushes and Dick Cheney, close comrades in arms, the people running the black ops programs out of Cheney's office have managed to run circles around any possibility of congressional oversight, leaving the institution completely in the dark, which is undoubtedly exactly where Congress wanted to be for the last 6 years. Is this still true? The non-reaction of the Hersh piece isn't exactly encouraging. And if Hersh is to be believed, and as a major journalistic figure for the last 40 years, he certainly deserves to be taken seriously. The Bush administration seems to be repeating the worst mistakes of the Reagan administration and of the Soviet Union, their war in Afghanistan, which led execrably to the greatest acts of blowback in our country's history. Given what we already know about the Bush administration, Americans should be up nights worrying about what all this means now as well as down the line. For Congress, the media, and the Americans in general, this report should have been not just a wake-up call, but a shout from an all-nighter with no doze. Now, folks, we're doing the UN sanction thing here. The UN Security Council voted unanimously Saturday to approve a resolution that bans all Iranian arms exports and freezes some of the financial assets of 28 Iranian individuals and entities linked to Iran's military nuclear agencies. Now, this is according to sources, a move intended to show Tehran that defiance, by the way, will leave it increasingly isolated. I don't see how. I don't see how, because Iran last week said, and it's already in place, that we ain't selling our oil in U.S. dollars. Forget your Bretton Woods agreement. Forget your worthless U.S. Federal Reserve dollar. We ain't doing it. We'll deal in euros. We'll deal with anything else, but we ain't dealing in dollars. They have to get this control. They have to get this under control. They have to get this out-of-control situation back under the hands of those people that are just benevolent masters of the universe, or at least of planet Earth. You know, from time to time, there are people that listen to this broadcast, and I've received several emails, and I think this is Bill from Alaska. I was sent a piece the other day, which when I read this, I reread it, and then I read it again. And it's one of these pieces that just strikes you at the heart and just resonates. There's a lot of thought that went into this, tons of truth, and it just leaves you with a feeling that the majority of the American people fall into a category, a picture of which he painted. And I'm going to relay this to you. Like I said, from time to time I receive, they're not journalists per se. They're not book writers or authors. This comes from the heart. And when stuff comes from the heart, it just has a resounding ring of truth that just cannot be denied. He writes to me that no one could quite remember when it happened. Some pointed to the lies of past wars, others to assassinations, Waco, Ruby Ridge, Kent State, the Bonus March, TV programming, school shootings, Oklahoma, the towers imploding, but they were all wrong. It really wasn't any one event, but the systematic cumulative layer upon layer that built a Frankenstein people, doped up, dumbed down, designer zombies, apathy, passivity, greed, indifference, intolerance, bias, rage, compliance, and fear were insidiously and consistently shouted, drummed, conditioned, and programmed into this new global plantation people identified as human resources. Some of the elders recalled small-town living and streets abustle of townsfolk meeting and shopping. They spoke of neighbors gathered on front porches while children played hide-and-seek in the gathering darkness. Church picnics, the yearly carnival, fireflies, splashing puddles of summer rains. There were lots of birds and butterflies then, and fields of wildflowers and scented forest. Clothes danced on the clotheslines in summer's glee, with children busy building race cars, forts, or playing ball. The sick neighbor was quickly tended to, the grieving widow comforted. They remembered the laughter of children at play, and real grandmas in flowered dresses with aprons baking up cookies. Cars all looked different, and you could tell a Chrysler from a Ford a block away. Men and boys worked on rebuilt motors and driveways. That ended with generic computer cars that nobody could fix, proposed to send men indoors. If there were keys to lock up one's house, they were long ago misplaced. There was the corner drugstore, the stationery store, the 5 and 10, the men's shop, the Dairy Queen, pizza shop, shoe stores, and little restaurants. Parades had all the folks out with families on blankets down by the river to watch the fireworks. Nothing fancy, mind you, just ordinary folks living ordinary lives, joying in their communities and one another. The real American dream, if anyone should ask. It didn't happen all at once, so nobody really noticed. Some did, but they were quickly marginalized and labeled. People learned, or rather were conditioned, to keep their thoughts and opinions to themselves. One didn't want to be thought odd. And then there were the neighbors, the minister, and one's job to think about. Others had political aspirations, deals, and contracts to consider. Everyone had a good excuse. I'm going to continue with this. It's a masterful piece. Like I said, I read it 3 times. And now I'm going to relay this to you. We'll be right back. I'll finish this piece right after this short break.
about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Continuing with this piece from Bill Adams, and thank you, Bill, for sending this to me. He continues by saying, "A dread came over the land, but everyone pretended it didn't exist. The president was shot, and that seemed to mark the end of any further leadership that the people believed in. Bang, bang, bang. Anyone seen as a voice with charisma, with passion, was shot. Oh, there was the silly stories of the lone madman or that doing the dirty deeds. People didn't believe, but they didn't want to talk about it for fear they'd be labeled other. Words were put out through the media of conspiratorial nuts, suspicious crazies, etc. And that was that. And then the dope came and came and came. It filled the ghettos, city streets, and small town America. People started killing and gangs formed. Families were shattered and more jails were built. And specialty police emerged in scary uniforms. They made a big to-do of crashing down doors and drug busts, never in rich gated estates, but in tenements in poor towns. Lots of times they got the wrong apartments or trailer, but since they weren't raiding posh resorts or wealthy enclaves, there wasn't much reporting or actions taken. After a while, people became desensitized. Every night on the news, it was a body, a shooting, crying, screaming, bombs dropping, shredding foreign people. And then pretty soon people just went on eating supper, waiting for the sports reports or weather. The Vietnam War ended, and they built another memorial for people to go and touch a name. The men who survived were poisoned or emotionally paralyzed, and went to live under bridges or in parks. The Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, remarked years later when writing a book that it, meaning Vietnam, was all a mistake. He never went under any bridges and told the guys living with rats that he was sorry and that their lives were stolen and their buddies dead. Why should he care? He, the president of the World Bank and all, he was warm and well-fed, not poisoned, with deformed children. And then the downtown across the lands all emptied. One by one, the mills, the foundries, the factories closed. No more downtown shopping, with sidewalks cracked and store windows boarded and empty. Big mega stores and malls filled the nation. Malls everywhere covered all the fields of flowers, the clay mines and the waterfalls. Strangers shopped in their fortress mazes with glazed intensity, plastic credit cards in hand, delaying payment to another time. It was all so convenient, no longer neighbors, but strangers told to shop, no matter what the crisis. No one except a few of the elders remembered when there were no cameras on the highways, downtown streets, places of work, and in every store. Soundproof barriers, or so they said, were built along stretches of the throughways, and concrete barriers stood at the edges of most obscure roads. People shook their heads, but nobody questioned. After all, the authorities had everything in hand. More prisons were built and casinos, more malls and generic fast junk food restaurants, drive-through. So you never need to speak to a neighbor, just plastic food and plastic booze for plastic people. Small-town drug hardware and 5 and 10 stores went out of business. Lots and lots of cheap plastic junk from China now filled mega stores. Strangers pushed and shoved for the newest markdown gadget that TV told them they just had to have, or the newest novelty toy. Nobody cared that the junk broke in a week or two or three. Nobody asked or cared that this trash was put together in slave labor shops where people worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, for pennies an hour. They didn't care because they didn't have to care, and besides, there wasn't time. The elders told of how family doctors once came with their black bags to their homes and delivered a baby or tended to an illness. You could afford the needed medicine or a hospital stay. And then that all disappeared except for the very wealthy and the politicians who made sure the laws and care they were voting into place for the human resources wouldn't affect them. And then the doctors were no longer doctors, but technocrats. A drone worker far away in a cubicle with a computer in front of them would tell the doctor, with a dozen years of education or so, that so and wasn't eligible for any specialty test or operation, so people died, but they died quietly out of sight from medical neglect and greed. And the men who were once known as doctors never said a word. They just obeyed like everybody else. The elders in the school were forgotten and gotten rid of, and new change agents put in place. No more teaching went on, but something called social engineering replaced the creativity and enthusiasm that learning once had. Children were programmed to study for tests, not to read, write, and discover. Those who were more free-spirited, inquisitive, rambunctious, as children will be, were prescribed drugs to bring them into line. The handicapped and special needs children were put into regular classrooms, which resulted in nobody receiving the special attention were required to teach their highest potential. But to say anything had you marked as intolerant and a troublemaker. Private schools had the rich and protected ones not having to endure such nonsense. These few received moneyed educations, the very best. So they, too, would one day inherit the positions and money of their fathers. Lots of new words came into being, really meaningless, but who knew? They sounded important. Public-private partnerships. You pay, they play. Consensus. That's a predetermined decision. Win-win, which means lose-lose for you. Due diligence. Busy nothingness. Regional. Local government dismantled. Privatization. Profits over people. Micromanaging. Don't question authorities, decisions, etc. Take this break. Be right back. I'll finish this up after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Trade agreements, summits, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, and armies of lobbyists saw to the corporatization of people's business. With the Congress and the Senate, just really props. With lots of perks, but little power. They pretty much turned all of the work and decisions they were responsible for over to the executive branch and corporate honchos, which left them free to hold senseless hearings, meaningless votes, and fact-finding missions or vacations abroad. They voted themselves yearly raises, lucrative pensions, and health care. That's about it. Oh, at election time, they showed up to have scut work done and tell people they cared. One day the clouds disappear and planes flew back and forth, smearing the sky with chemical trails that soon turned turquoise sunshine days into dusty murkiness. Nobody looked up. They just kept shuffling to the malls, the casinos, to vacation and to work. The few who did were quickly put in the category of others, and that was that. Nobody ever wanted to be called an other. No matter who you asked, nobody, no official nor any politician could tell you why the sun was gone. They were too afraid and just shrugged. There used to be lots of birds and bees, but they've disappeared. Or were found dead with some disease, or maybe the stuff smeared in the sky killed them. Nobody knew. Frogs were found grotesquely deformed, but that was quickly hushed up and people were told not to eat the fish because of mercury. NAFTA, the WTO, the IMF, GATT, and the trade summits saw our nation dismantled brick by brick and town by town. It was a race to the bottom in setting up this new global plantation, which saw the few at the top cleaning up in the newest industries of terrorism, war, waste, and the plundering and privatization of the world's resources, even the water. Still, people went shopping to the video stores and pretended everything would fix itself. Imagine, even taking of the water kept everybody silent. The oil and the gas people took over the oceans to drill and despoil. So that ended the fishing industry. So they made up lies about fish stocks being depleted. And who could argue with them? The corporate advisors had written all the rules for the new plantation. Family farms went under, not able to compete with mega corporate farms. Trade deals saw poison fruits and vegetables shipped in. And that wiped out all the hard work of protecting our nation's food and meat supplies. Why were there so many books of laws and rules that nobody, especially the politicians, knew what was what? They just voted in the middle of the night the way the lobbyists told them to. Since there were no jobs, you had a choice of going to prison or off to war. The exceptions were the money people's children. They still went to Ivy League colleges. Nobody else could afford them. Off to Europe for that well-rounded life and spring break. Prisons were built everywhere. More prisons than schools. Those who weren't locked up for nonviolent offenses watched the ones who were. For poor wages, everybody beat everybody else up to keep them in line. Corporate America moved a lot of their jobs into the prisons because it was much cheaper having slave labor and no benefits or salaries to pay. Other jobs were taken by the special guest visas that the lobbyists had the politicians vote on. The corporate lobbyists also made it convenient for the ones making all the money to have offshore tax-free accounts and special subsidies to ship all the jobs in America off to places that paid the least and had no messy environmental standards. Everybody talked about special treaties protecting the environment, but that was a lie since the third world countries were conveniently exempted. Nobody knew what to do, so they did nothing. They just waited, but they didn't know what for. More and more laws were made, searches at airports, not for the elite or the politicians, had people conditioned and programmed to obey. This was kind of silly, seeing all these educated people made subservient and shuffling to people with GEDs who were paid minimum wage. Meantime, planes were packed with cargo that nobody checked, so it was never about security, but about obedience to the rules. On September 11th of 2001, the towers, one other building, and the Pentagon all imploded or had things crashing into them. They said Arab men trained on crop dusters did this fancy maneuvering of giant planes. No skyscraper building had ever imploded from fire before this, and nobody seemed to think it was wrong that all the steel from the crime scene was shipped to China. Anyway, after that, all Americans became Arabs. Nobody, because that was the newest group targeted to fear. Everybody became suspect, Arab or not. Who watched the watchers? Nobody knew. Everybody just followed orders all the way down the line and searched their neighbors, demanded triple ID, put them on list, or if they protested anywhere, gassed them, hit them with clubs, shocked them with stun guns, or just arrested them. Everybody just followed orders, but nobody really knew the identity of the wizard behind the curtain issuing these orders. Some of those dressed in helmets with shields and fancy equipment enjoyed their new jobs of beating people. Now they were important, and they were the boss. This is very important when you've always been a nobody or bullied. Power, even beating people up power, is like an aphrodisiac. Everybody felt depressed, sad, frustrated, and powerless. They couldn't tell you exactly why, just that they knew everything was changed and ruined forever. No more grandmas in aprons, downtown streets filled with neighbors, no more factory whistle or friendly peace officers, no more college education for the auto worker's boy, or the home that people always dreamed of owning. The global plantation owners wanted the whole earth for themselves, and so they took it. They wanted all the people as slaves, working and working till they dropped dead. It really wasn't about money, but a perverse power that made some men quite mad. The people felt frightened because they knew in their hearts that the inmates were in charge and they had the keys. Nobody said this out loud, of course. Yikes, then you'd be called the other and told to move out of the country if you didn't like things the way they were. Of course, there was no other country to move to since it was a global plantation. But most people were still very dumb, kept deliberately so, on the real business and the power brokers of the world. Why, heck, everyone still thought there were two parties to choose from and that the president would save them all. They really did. People became mean-spirited, suspicious, or just disappeared into their cocoon lives. Streets were silent and echoing at night. People lived their lives vicariously through the movies or as voyeurs watching from a distance. But then something magical began to happen. No one knew whence the song came or the light. It wasn't just one song or the one act of love, but the cumulative acts that took place daily throughout the world. It wasn't a heroic act or a great speech. Great happenings never are. It was just one last song on a back country road that a man sang, thinking it was just another lonely yodel. It was a meal served in a city soup kitchen, the elderly woman who bathed a paralyzed husband, the woman with the protest signs against polluting a community, the social worker moving a widow, the bird on the faucet given as a gift. It was a lighted candle in a darkened church, the woman who saved a whale, the man who laid down his gun and said, I ain't going to kill nobody else. And then one day, the final act of unselfish love dispelled the darkness and made it light. No act, however removed, however small, is unimportant and unheard. Yours may be the one act today that brings the love and the peace that wipes away every tear and makes a fearful people strong again. You are the most important person in the world today. Your act may be the one. Once upon a time, come with me and I'll take you there. Once upon a time, so many stories we can share, and who knows what we'll find. Once upon a time. Whew. Bill Adams, thank you for sending that to me. It's an amazing piece. You know, folks, we are this little shielded mass of people that when stuff gets so absolutely crazy, we just unplug ourselves. We get into things that we know aren't important. We're not doing what we think we should be doing because we don't want to be one of those other people. You know, the people that are, well, you're just nuts. The whole world's falling apart. Their world around them is falling apart. But some people, when you try to give them the answers as to why, they just don't want to hear about it. They want to stay in their little cocoon. They want to stay protected. They want to vicariously live their lives through sports, through their home team winning. Let's have a victory. It's your local baseball team or your football team or your basketball team. It doesn't matter. It's just bread and circuses, folks. Something to keep the masses amused. It's sad, but that's the position we're in right now. Who else can explain the culture phenomenon here, American Idol? Who gives a rat's patootie about all the mechanizations and the behind-the-scenes stuff? And who, in their right mind, would allow themselves to be humiliated on national television? And then, by the way, this is all set up anyhow. I mean, you know, people have talent. They don't have talent, don't put them on stage. This American Idol thing is big enough that they've got enough that there's talented people more talented than others. You don't have to put the laughables on there. You know, a cross between a Gong Show and Lawrence Welk. You don't have to do it, but that's what everybody talks about when they're not talking about Anna Nicole Smith, of course. They're not talking about some mundane thing that means absolutely nothing. These people will not address what is on our minds because they can't. If they do, they're going to be in the unemployment line, which is growing fatter and fatter by the day. So, folks, why don't you be that one person that commits this unwielding act of kindness, an act of truth? Be that person. You know, I once heard it said that sometimes people will do things and they don't think it's very important at all, but it turns out to be a big deal. That may be one of these times. You know, when I ask people, you know, well, what are you doing? Or how are you using your time to fight the New World Order? You know, some people have told me that they've passed out thousands and thousands of videotapes or DVDs. They're a one-man recording studio. But what if each and every one of us did a small thing? Talk to a friend or a neighbor. And if you don't have the courage of your own convictions, just tell them, hey, you know, I think there's something you should like. I watch this thing. You know, what's your opinion? You tell me what you think. Start a dialogue for those afraid to speak, for those that have been conditioned to sit down and shut up and don't make waves. You know, I used to laugh when I would hear the term politically correct. That was a massive statement, folks. Because you knew something was up when you couldn't express yourself. You couldn't use your God-given right of free expression. And who gives a hoot whether you're ridiculed or not? Remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones? Now, they want to pass hate crime laws to protect those that, well, don't have any protection at all. Hooey. Flat out, hooey. I just, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you gotta, one of the things that you can do is just unplug and think for yourself. Act. No matter how small or big or whatever, act. Do something. Anything. Small, it doesn't matter. Make a copy of a DVD. I don't care if it's what it is, on the Federal Reserve or Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism or maybe one of Jones's many DVDs or videos. Who cares? Do something. I just, sometimes, and I know in my heart, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this with every fiber of my being, every cell of my body, that what we're seeing right now, we know what the agenda is. We know where they want to go. But I know they can't accomplish it if we just stand up and we be Americans. You know, I sometimes chide people or joke when I say, you know, I long for the days when women were women, men were men, and cars were cars. But I make that statement because I do miss the old days. I do miss the days that there weren't gangs of taking over complete cities. You know, I said last week that the reports came out. We got 90,000 LAPD officers that are afraid to go in neighborhoods that won't go on calls. Why? Because there's between 150 and 200,000 gang members running around in the streets of L.A., killing each other over territory and drug money and who knows what else. Why are they there? Why are they there? Did somebody just up and turn the switch off of human compassion? Or they wanted to keep really their community safe? But the agenda was exactly to do that, to run drugs into it, create the chaos, create fear, create that isolationism that we all feel now. We feel so disconnected from everything that it's absolutely, we are living in a surreal life. It is not a life anymore. Not one that you can live in full measure. Not one that you can mark the milestones of your life and the years of raising your children and hoping that they are going to live a better life than you did. Their opportunities are going to be better. That it's going to be a better world tomorrow than it is today. How do you think that's going to happen? It's not going to rub off somebody else. It's not going to osmotically happen. You have to make it happen. You. By a very small act. An act to educate somebody, to show them the love and compassion as you would any fellow American, because at one time, ladies and gentlemen, we stood for something. You know, I used to sometimes ask the question, you know, what does it mean to you to be an American? And then people would have to stop and think about that. And, well, geez, you know, I never thought about that. Well, think about it. Think about it. You could have been born in any third world country. You could have been born in any time in history. You could have been born any time, anywhere. But you were born here. And you're listening to me now. So I ask you, what small thing can you do now? Not tomorrow. Don't regret that you didn't do it last week. But what are you doing, and what do you plan to do right now?
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
John in Pennsylvania, hang on a second. I'll get to your call here in just a second. Out of Haaretz.com, German cadets express unwillingness to remember the Holocaust. An anti-Semitic incident that occurred in Berlin Police Academy last month and was exposed this week in one of the German capital's most widely read papers. Widely read papers. has caused a small political and media storm several days after the publication of data pointing to an escalation in right-wing violence in Germany. Pointing to an escalation in... No, I'll tell you what's going on over there. These young Germans over there are sick of the rhetoric, and they're finding out it ain't true. Why do you think Heretz put in there right-wing violence in Germany? That's because they're pushing socialism, communism, or... Well, they're just little good little Maoist or Marxist. It's starting, the worm is starting to turn, folks. People have had it with the programming. They're opening up their eyes and their ears and they're starting to go, wait a minute here. I'm not taking this stuff. So these young German police officers in the academies are going, wait a minute. Why do you keep shoving this Holocaust stuff down our throat? Some of the cadets, by the way, said during one of the classes, Jews are rich. They're proportionally very, very rich. John in Pennsylvania. Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hey, you sent me copies of Visitor from the Past.
Yes.
Yes, and Stuart Crane, Wheat Receipts.
Mm-hmm.
I found those are the best introductions. Because I made copies of those, and I gave them to people, and they're short, sweet, to the point, you know. And I gave out America Freedom Fashion, asked people, do you watch it yet? No, because it's like 2 hours. But these are short, sweet, and to the point. And I gave a copy of each to a fellow I work with, and he made copies. He's handing them out. Visitor from the Past. That one he liked the best.
And it doesn't take much, you know, and I hear the stories, and I personally know people that have made thousands, and I mean thousands and thousands of copies of DVDs and VHS tapes. And
yep.
And if we would just make some copies and keep them with us, keep them in our car, in our briefcase,
mm-hmm.
keep a, you know, if you're suited up, you got your business suit on, keep a copy of America Freedom to Fascism or whatever in your inside coat pocket when you're talking to somebody and you're engaging them. Say, hey, take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no charge for it. It's free here, man.
Yeah.
Take it. Mm-hmm. Too many of us are depending on too few to do way, way too much.
Right.
And it's hurting all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder where to go. You know, and it's tough to engage people because they don't want to listen.
Well, Ed, but some of them are waking up. The tighter that this gloved iron fist squeezes us,
mm-hmm.
the more of us that are going to squeeze, it's going to slip through their grasp. And people are starting, they want the information. They're hungry for it. They're asleep. Many of them are asleep right now, but they're starting to feel the squeeze.
Right.
And they're starting to ask questions. We better be there with the answers.
Yep, I'm going to try to be.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it. Yeah, too much left to too few, folks. That's been our problem. More boots on the ground in this informational war, the war of the truth out there. We've got it. They don't. We do. But what are we doing with it? And how much time do we have left? And what are going to be the moans and the sighs once it's gone? And then you got to ask yourself, and then you're going to have to live with yourself for the rest of your life, asking the haunting question, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I act when I had an opportunity? While I'm standing here in the barbed wire enclosure or the encampment for retraining or maybe to be done away with. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the Intel Report, folks. What are you going to do right now? We'll see you tomorrow.